Genesis 24, verses 50 through 67. How should we listen to these words?
Carefully.
Why?
Because they're God's words.
Genesis 24, verses 50 through 67. Listen very carefully. These are the words of God. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing comes from Yahweh. We cannot speak to you, either good or bad. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go. Let her be your master's son's wife, as Yahweh has spoken." And it came to pass, when Abraham's servant heard their words, that he worshipped Yahweh, bowing himself to the earth. Then the servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, and clothing. He gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. And he and the men who were with him ate and drank and stayed all night. And they arose in the morning and said, and he said, "Send me away to my master." But her brother and her mother said, "Let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that she may go." And he said to them, "Do not hinder me. Since Yahweh has prospered my way, send me away, so that I may go to my master." So they said, "We will call the young woman and ask her personally." Then they called Rebekah and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." So they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, "Our sister, may you become the mother of thousands of ten thousands, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them." Then Rebekah and her maids arose, and they rode on camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Now Isaac came from the way of Beer Lahai-Roi, for he dwelt in the south, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. And he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. For she had said to the servant, "Who is this man walking in the field to meet us?" And the servant said, "It is my master." So she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. And he took Rebekah, and she became his wife. He loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. The problem with which chapter 24 began has been resolved. Isaac needs a wife. Must not have a wife from the Canaanites. Now Isaac has a wife. He has not left the land. There he is. Still dwelling in the Negev, in the promised land, and he has his wife, Rebekah. One of the things that we see here, again, is the emphasis on how faithful the Lord is to do according to all his will, all his promise, since he has decided from before the world began that he would save his people in Christ. It was absolutely certain that everything that was necessary for Jesus to come into the world, the Lord would do. If Isaac was the one through whom the promise would be fulfilled, it was absolutely necessary that the Lord would provide for Isaac a wife, and that that wife would bear children. We'll be thinking about that in a couple of weeks, as Isaac prays 20 years for his wife to bear children. But it was certain that it would happen. The thing that was uncertain is how it would happen. And so the servant is still reminding us how remarkable, how amazing is the faithfulness of God. Notice he has been speaking about Yahweh the whole time, and how Yahweh would prosper the journey, and how Yahweh would deal with Abraham and steadfast love, and of course Laban. He may or may not have thought much of Yahweh before that time, but and he saw the gold and the jewelry and heard the servant, and every other word out of the servant's mouth is Lord, Yahweh. All of a sudden, Laban is the biggest Yahweh worshiper on the planet. Interesting, Bethuel finally speaks up here. We might have thought he was dead, because Laban has been doing all the talking and all the running, and all the, come in, blessed of Yahweh, to Abraham's servant. But now it says, Laban and Bethuel answer, the thing comes from Yahweh. I cannot speak to you either good and bad. Here's Rebecca. Before you take her and go, let her be your master's son's wife, as Yahweh has spoken. It's not necessarily a terrible thing when those who otherwise wouldn't have a Christian bone in their bodies all of a sudden tries to sound like Christians. Sometimes it gets you into murky water. Mom and I met a chiropractor when she was pregnant, and as soon as he found out that I was a pastor, he started talking all kinds of spiritual stuff. And as you can imagine, not having been well taught and preached during his lifetime, very, very sincerely believed a bunch of weird New Age extra-biblical junk, made it very difficult for us to be there. Anyway, he turned out to be a good chiropractor, but gave us opportunity to try and testify to the goodness of the Lord. I dare say, however, that when Mom announced, you know, at the end of her adjustment that things had gone well, it would have been rather shocking if I had fallen to my knees in the middle of the chiropractor's office and poured out a theologically rich prayer, thanking God that he always treats us according to the merits of Christ, would not have been uncomfortable and inappropriate for me, but I think it might have been very uncomfortable for Mom and maybe the doctor too. Well, he's kind of weird, not sure anything to make that guy uncomfortable. Anyway, just know that when it comes to things like weddings and funerals and extended family reunions and things like that, you have an opportunity because you belong to the Lord. And it's important that you keep close accounts with the Lord in your life, that every day of your life be a spiritual day of receiving the good that the Lord is doing to you and of offering yourself unto the Lord, so that it's not unnatural for you to explode with the Lord's praises and fall down on your knees and worship him and pray. Okay, so Laban and Bethuel are probably like, okay, let's get to the bride presents. But first, verse 52, it came to pass when Abraham's servant heard their words that he worshipped Yahweh, bowing himself to the earth. Who knows how long that took? Probably seemed like an eternity to Laban, but at last the presents come out. And he gives a bunch of presents to Rebekah, which aren't the ones that Laban's most interested in, because those are going to go back with Rebekah to Canaan. But he gives them also to her mother and to her brother. And then he wants to go right away. And they think, what? You don't want to go right away? We didn't even get to start enjoying the portion of the presents that you gave to Rebekah that are going to go away with her. That may or may not be the case. Maybe they just thought, they just wanted a couple more days with Rebecca, however it was. But see, for Abraham's servant, the fact that something was from Yahweh was not just some spiritual language that we add to stuff when we talk about it. It was what was driving his life. He was so excited that the faithfulness that Abraham had expressed on his bed when the servant was being given this job, the faithfulness of Yahweh that Abraham had said, I believe that the Lord is faithful to do this. The servant was excited that he had gotten to see that faithfulness played out in the events of carrying out his task. And he wanted to let Isaac know. I mean, he had been there. He was the oldest servant in Abraham's house. He had been there when Abraham and Sarah were having crisis of faith because Sarah hadn't gotten pregnant yet. He had been there when Isaac was specifically promised, when Isaac was born, when Isaac was circumcised, when Isaac had his big weaning party and Ishmael Isaac'd him, laughed at him. He had been there throughout Isaac's whole life. He'd even been there, perhaps, at Mount Moriah, when Isaac was almost sacrificed. Why do I say that? Because this, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them, is exactly from the promise that the Lord gave to Abraham in response to Abraham's almost sacrifice of Isaac. So whether this was one of the servants who had gone to the mountain with him, or whether he just heard about it later, apparently Rebekah's family had heard not only generally that Yahweh blesses, but about this specific substitute sacrifice and the naming of the mountain and the mount of Yahweh, it will be provided. And so you see how much of an opportunity just in sharing, how faith in the promise of Christ had dominated the life of Abraham's house, how much of an opportunity God had given the servant to talk to the family of Laban and Bethuel about the gospel of our Lord Jesus and to witness to them. You also may have such opportunities, but we must keep ourselves from becoming worldly minded. When we run into somebody who isn't full of Christ, we ought to feel that they are strange, not that we are strange. And we ought to pity them and want to be watching out for ways that we can be merciful and gracious to them, and that we can then speak to them also, especially of the mercy and grace of the Lord. Abraham's servant probably knew that the way he was acting was not normal to the family of Bethuel and Laban. When Rachel would be leaving with Rebekah's son, Jacob, some years later, she would steal Laban's household gods. Okay, this is not exactly Mr. Yahweh worshiper. And yet, these things, this way of worshiping the Lord and responding to him, was so natural to Abraham's servant that he apparently didn't feel embarrassed at all, or he was bold and courageous with them and told them even about the promise that had been made upon the mountain. And here at the end of the passage, we have again reminded to us the main point of the whole thing, that the Lord is faithful to bring about his good plan for all of us. And if he is God to us and our children, then some of the ways that we see that faithfulness carried out are when he gives us a good spouse, when he helps us in our marriage, when he helps us to stay close to him, when he blesses us with children, when he helps us in training our children, so that the fact that Isaac would go out to worship in the evening, and the fact that he and Rebekah were romantically interested in each other, and that she didn't dismount her camel, like the New King James says, but she literally fell off her camel. The Hebrew using a word that is less commonly used for dismounting. She fell off her camel when she saw Isaac. And he took her, Isaac took her into the tent, and she became his wife, and he loved her. Not just he knew her. Not just they were man and wife, but that he loved her and that he was comforted. She was a comfort to him. Having blessing in marriage is part of the Lord's faithfulness. He's a covenant God. He works, yes, to bring us to faith in Christ, But marriage and family are things that God invented and that God honors and that God works in. So as he blesses us in this house, as you look forward to his providing you with your own house and blessing you, those are covenant blessings. Those are blessings that center upon Christ and his salvation and the work that the Lord is doing through you, through your families, to bring all those whom he has chosen and loved in Christ to himself. And that's what we see him doing here. Let's pray. We thank you, Father, for giving us a glimpse of your faithfulness in this family through which you brought Christ into the world. And we thank you that this was also a family for which you brought Christ into the world. We thank you, Father, that ours is a family for which you brought Christ into the world. For you made us to know him and know his word and trust in him. We ask, O Lord, that your spirit would keep working in us. And I ask that you would work in each of these, your own dear children in this house, that their life with him would be so real and natural and consistent that when they do come into contact with other families and have these opportunities with unbelievers, that they're calling upon you and worshiping you, praying to you, delighting in you, would be so natural that when they do it before others, it wouldn't be hypocritical, but it would just be them being whom you have made them to be, and that you would give them opportunity to tell others of your goodness and your faithfulness and salvation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.